Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
I will end up using you, but you have to have a will to fight, a work to do. You end up having to have a wish to fulfill.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
You have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 127, if you would. Where in the world do we go once the beginning of marriage is set? I gave you three vain or incomplete parts of when people say, I want to end up being married, then make God the foundation. I talked about those beginning years being the years that we are working in vain and watching in vain and worrying in vain. And then we talked about, and I want to talk very briefly about the area of children, because this is where you find the birthing years. Look, if you would, in verse 3, 4, and 5, because I think it's simply clear that as you look at this area, you'll end up finding that it makes the statement, lo, children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. He says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. I'll get to verse 5, but he gives in those two verses, very simply, pictures of what children are. And those pictures, I think, reveal a lot to us. And you say, well, I don't have any children. Then I would say to you, you might not have children of your own. You have influence over children. He gives these three pictures of children, and I think I mentioned this a few years ago, but they're really right out of the text, and maybe they'll be of help to you, because he says, first of all, verse 3, children are a heritage of the Lord. What he's talking about there, they are presents, or they're heirlooms. It's the idea of property there. It is a heritage. It has the idea of inheritance, and I like the thought that when he talks about children are a heritage of the Lord, that not everyone can give an inheritance, but everyone should give a heritage. And a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, the Bible says. And so we start with the present. We start with it really being an heirloom, as Dr. Phillips suggests, and I like the way he put that. Every child becomes a present. Every child also becomes fruit, as he says in verse 4. He says, they are also fruit of the womb. They're his reward. It is a reward. Both of these imply an idea in which they are gifts. They're not achievements. We didn't work. They're gifts given to us by God. And thirdly, they're an arrow. And arrows are very, very helpful. I'm going to say more about that in just a minute, but all of these are pictures of children. Now, there's some observations to be made about this, and I would like to do so, but before I do, I'd like to expand the thought, because I think sometimes we have shaped our ideas of children in a variety of ways. I read three different books, and one book, actually, I kind of perused again, because a couple of years ago I read it. It came out in 2001. It was called Wild at Heart. Now, for you mothers here, stay with me on this one, because I'm not advancing all of this, but it caught my attention because this guy, John Eldredge, suggested at Wild at Heart, every man has a desire. And his primary focus was men. And actually, when you read through this particular text, the focus is sons, because they are the ones who are at the gate. But I think it would apply in this particular case that his suggestion is that every guy has three desires. His observation is, and this is a Christian book, that most of us in our churches today emphasize what we really want is just nice guys. As I'm saying this, I'm not saying this tongue-in-cheek, but it was interesting that his whole emphasis was that for most guys, if you would look at them in churches today, there's one word that would sum them up, and that is most men are bored. He would suggest, as far as women are concerned, that most women, when you talk with them, they're tired. And so he goes to suggest these three desires that every guy has. Number one, every guy wants a battle to fight. Every man wants an adventure to live. And every man wants a beauty to rescue. Now, he also went on to say for women, his application was for women, that the feminine heart has three desires essential to a woman's heart. He suggests that not every woman wants a battle to fight, but every woman wants to be fought for. And every woman, number two, wants an adventure to share. She doesn't want to be the adventure. She wants to be caught up in something greater than herself. And number three, every woman wants to have a beauty to unveil. And this deep desire to simply and truly be beautiful, that she wants attention. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but as I thought and read that a few years ago, and a few other books that are out there, one of them called The Tender Warrior by Stu Weber, I quoted that earlier, and the other one called Raising a Modern Knight by Robert Lewis, which is worth the read, that I do think there is some scriptural support for the fact that in every man there's a desire. And I do think there are those desires show up when you find through Scripture. When you look at men like Elijah, you look at men like John the Baptist, you look at men like Jonah, although running from God, you see in all of these men, Abraham was the same way, but also you find David, who is a prime example. I'm just going to put this off to the side, but I want you to jot this down, 1 Chronicles 11. I'm not going to go through the whole passage, but just as a point of note, because I think it's worth mentioning, that as far as our desire to be able to see a difference in the heart and lives of our children, particularly our men and our boys, that I would encourage you that when you look at this, you'll end up finding that 1 Chronicles 11 talks about David's mighty men. And when I read this in 1 Chronicles 11 and 12, it's not the Chronicles of Narnia, it's the Chronicles of God. And it really is quite interesting. It kind of has shades of King Arthur's court mixed with Robin Hood. And there's this whole sense where David had an incredible influence over men. And these men came from an environment that was not really healthy. David had 400 men, and David, at the age of 30, took over the kinghood. But at 17, he was launched into a huge leadership role. He was held out in 1 Samuel 22 by his young men that eventually developed into mighty men. How many mighty men did David have, those of you that were Old Testament? The Bible talks about 30 mighty men. Beyond that, there were two that were also mentioned, and those two were Abishai and Benaiah. And then who led those were three of his mighty men. And these three mighty men are mentioned in 1 Chronicles 11, and they are Joshabim, Eleazar, and Shammah. All three of these men, and it's cross-referenced, by the way, in 2 Samuel 23, all three of these men were incredible leaders in their own right. And I say this because it's to be a challenge when I read Solomon, his own dad, who had a force behind him. The goal of these men were very simple. And the goal that they had was to elevate the king. You end up finding that in verse 10 when he says, he strengthened themselves with him, David, in his kingdom with all Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. They ended up having a goal in front of them. And then it documents that, for example, Joshabim, he ended up becoming one of the three that led these mighty men. He was the chief of the captain. It says he lifted up his spear against 300 men, killed them at one time. The second guy, Eleazar, he was such a mighty man that he was with David. And it says that he was in the field that was full of barley. And the people fled from the Philistines. He stationed himself there. He defended it, and he killed the Philistines. It was a great victory. And then Shammah himself, that ended up having a huge victory. And then these three men, the Bible says, interesting to know that God, the Spirit of God, inserts in 1 Chronicles 11, these three of the 30 chief men went down to the rock to David. They were in the cave of Adullam. This was the rock and fortress. And these men are all surrounded David. This was their family. And the army of the Philistines encamped around them. And David said with a longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So these three broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that's by the gate, and took it from and brought it to David. "Here, David, this is what you want. Here you go." And David was so moved by these men and what drove them that David poured it out to God as a sacrifice, saying, "How could I ever take what would have cost these men their lives?" You know what this passage says to me, among other things? That all of these men had the deep desire of every man. And I say to you mothers, you have got to understand, your boys particularly have a drive and should have a drive. You know what the desires are? As it was with these mighty men, number one, they had a will to fight. When I read about these mighty men, I read they had a will to fight. Number two, they had a work to do. They were given something to do, and it drove them. Number three, they had a wish to fulfill. And when you want to be, and I talk to you men right now, because if we don't end up leading, if we don't be as it was with David's mighty men, we will miss the ultimate call. What God says, "I will end up using you, but you have to have a will to fight. You have to end up having a work to do. You end up having to have a wish to fulfill." What is it that God wants you to do? Then you've got a will to fight. You've got to be in a place to say, "I've got a work to do." It's interesting that as I cross-referenced all of this, I found this same drive that David later had to Solomon, his son. He said, "Be brave, be strong, and do it." You know what it took for these men to do this? They needed to be brave. They needed to be strong, and they were. And they needed to do it. I look at the story of Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18. He gave him a charge, the same idea. And Paul lifts this whole idea and now says to the New Testament age, listen, if you don't end up having a strong desire to build into your child this same will to fight, this same work to do, this same wish to fulfill, what is it, God, that you call me to do? You will not end up being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And for you ladies, you're in a place to say, if you're a mother, "I've got children, and I can instill into them, as David, a tender warrior." This does not mean that all you have is this mechanical warrior willing to go out and hurt somebody. You have this balance where allowing them to say, hey, they've got a drive and an energy and enthusiasm, and channeling that ultimately for the cause of Christ. And I believe that's ultimately what Christ himself did with 12 men, knowing even one of those were going to turn his back on him, that he invested into those disciples, those Talladim, and gave them a commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that should resonate in your heart to say, there is something to be said, and a family environment is going to produce that.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.